Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. The question from yesterday. There's another name for Surah At-Tawbah, which specifically refers to its exposing. What is the other name for Surah At-Tawbah that the ulama mentioned? So please do answer below, inshallah. A reminder before we get started to please donate to Yaqeen Bidhnillahi Ta'ala. We know we're in that middle part of Ramadan where people kind of slow down. But every night is an opportunity, inshallah ta'ala. We hope that you'll see the benefit and the value of yaqeen in your own personal life and continue to invest in it, bidhnillahi ta'ala. And of course, download the ebook, follow along, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we're joined, of course, as always, by Sheikh Abdullah Aduru, hafidhullah, and Sheikh Suleiman Hani, hafidhullah ta'ala. Welcome.
Jazakumullah
khair. It's good to have you, man.
Good to have you, man.
Sheikh Suleiman.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
Alhamdulillah.
It's different, right?
It's very different.
Alhamdulillah. You're one of the few people, though, who actually gets this technology right.
Alhamdulillah.
Some people, like, always have tech issues.
Yeah,
so we're doing things online, you know. Always having issues getting started, you know. No, alhamdulillah. I mean, so Sheikh Suleiman, alhamdulillah. What's your official role within Maghrib, by the way?
Director of Academic Affairs.
Director of Academic Affairs. Obviously, alhamdulillah, has been a serious contributor. Scholar at Yaqeen, alhamdulillah, we've benefited from your works. I've known you for the longest, alhamdulillah. We were just talking about your first book was 114 ways to memorize the Quran.
114 tips, yeah.
114 tips to memorize the Quran, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. A very beneficial book.
Right.
And you just had this book that came out. He didn't ask me to plug this, by the way. I offered. But it's really a beautiful book, alhamdulillah. It's actually on Surah Al-Hadid. And how many lessons, Sheikh, from Surah Al-Hadid?
You have 120 discussion questions with every ayah. Pretty much you have a way to internalize it, think about it, really do tadabbur and practice.
Alhamdulillah. Ways to internalize Surah Al-Hadid, which is honestly one of my favorite surahs of the Qur'an.
So I'm really looking forward to
reading this, especially the scenes when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the believers going forth. May Allah make us amongst those who move forward with our light. Allahumma ameen. So please do check out the book, inshallah. It's called The Iron Healing, and all of the proceeds go to Khasa, right?
Alhamdulillah.
So please do check it out. We'll put it in the comments, inshallah. And go to the link, bidhnillahi ta'ala. So with that, bidhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go ahead and get started. Subhanallah, I'm in a very particular part of Surah At-Tawbah, and it's a very beautiful part of Surah At-Tawbah. And it's the 92nd verse, but I want to take you all back to Juz 10. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and we spoke about this, those who are wicked running away from the angels or trying to run away from the angels, and the angels are literally descending upon them, يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ, right? Punching them as they take their souls, beating their faces, beating their backs, and saying to them, وَذُوقُوا عَذَابِ الْحَرِيقِ, that taste the torment of the burning. And Allah says that it is said to them, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. That is because of what your hands have earned. So this is the reward for what your hands have earned, and Allah is never unjust to His creation. SubhanAllah, move on to this juz. In verse 92 of Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّ وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, there is no blame upon them, Ya Rasulullah, who came to you and they were unable to go forward. They had nothing to spend and they had no capacity to have any mounts provided for them to go forth in the cause of Allah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have nothing to carry you, they turned away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine their sadness is captured in the Quran over missing out on a good deed. Like Allah tells us about that moment, their eyes are overflowing with tears out of grief that they had nothing to contribute. Look how sincere they must have been, subhanAllah, that Allah testifies to not just the outward, but the inward. Right, that the inward was the purest expression of regret that they wish they could go out with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in Surah At-Tawbah, which is more famous for, of course, another group of people, and there are multiple groups of people covered, but another story of the companions. And verse 118, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. Right, those three people who remained behind, and Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the feeling, the sentiment as well. حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ, that it was as if the earth was consuming them. I mean, despite its vastness, they felt like they were being suffocated by the earth despite its vastness. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that they thought that there was no escape, no refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they knew there was no refuge from Allah except to Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, of course, that He turned towards them, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا, that He turned towards them so that they may turn towards Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the acceptor of repentance and most merciful. So you're capturing these groups of people, right? Now compare the group of people that wanted to go out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but did not have the means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising them, to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you are being compensated for the evil deeds that you actually put forward. This is nothing but a jaza, nothing but a compensation for the actual evil deeds that you put forward. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and I have not failed to record the good deeds that you could not put forward for the sincere believers. And so you hear, here you have إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ encapsulated, that verily actions are but by intention. But here's what I really want you to sit with. You know, in this previous juz, this is the reward for what you did. In this juz, this is the reward for what you couldn't do. And then you have those three people that are regretting what they did not do. So you really have all of the entire spectrum of emotion in regards to deeds. But here's what I want you to sit with. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards regret for sin this much, imagine how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards regret for missing out on a good deed.
MashaAllah.
And that's why when Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions that a sin that brings you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than a good deed that takes you away, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises these people for their emotions, for their intentions. In the case of one group, because they couldn't do good. In the case of another group, because they regretted the sin that they had committed. And so, in conclusion, for those who had no excuse and stayed behind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised repentance. And for those who had an excuse and couldn't go forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the full reward. And in that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encapsulated. May Allah azza wa jalla allow us to be amongst those who receive His mercy and who turn towards Him in all of our states. Allahumma ameen. Shaykh Abdullah, tafadhal.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'du. Wanting to speak about Musa alayhi salam and his message that he gave to the people, there was something in particular amongst the many things that Musa alayhi salam said, which is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never forget that in reading the stories of the Prophet is that which makes our hearts firm. It makes us firm in our faith because we see their struggle, and understanding that the struggle was something that was real, it happened in history, and also that this is a lesson for us to try to embody, particularly with our faith and the actions of our hearts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, what happened with Musa alayhi salam was with Fir'aun, and Fir'aun testing Musa and bringing the magicians to try to counter Musa, and the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Musa and the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa, but Musa overpowered them. I want to mention something that happened during this time, because in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that there were those that did not ultimately believe in Musa. It wasn't a lot of them, and some even scholars mentioned that it was the elders amongst them that did not believe in him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the statement of Musa alayhi salam, when he turns to the people and he says, if ta'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, in chapter Yunus, verse number 84, he says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. He says, oh my people, if you believe in Allah and are truly Muslims, then place your reliance on Him alone. I want to kind of dive in this verse, because the first thing Musa says, يَا قَوْمِ, oh my people. So he's calling the same people that were around Fir'aun and that were around the type of media he tried to use and the type of manipulation that he used and the oppression that he used, the tyranny through his power and his strength. But Musa alayhi salam, still being latif, being nice, being honorable, says, oh my people. He's calling them to this righteous, good message, and he's not giving up on them. He says, ya qawmi, my people, if you believe in Allah, if you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in kuntum amantum, if you were those that have belief. And it's interesting here how he uses the fi'l mudari, the present tense form here, to show the importance of it. If you are those that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amantum billah, fa'alayhi tawakkalu, then upon him, put your trust in him. As Sheikh Omar mentioned, that those are the people that they cry because they were hazanan. They were those that cried out of sadness because they couldn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that they know is a lofty way. But subhanAllah, due to the circumstances, the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that took place, but it shows their desire and their wherewithal and their allegiance and their trust. So here, when Musa said, upon Allah is the one that you trust in. But then he says, in kuntum muslimin. And it's interesting here that he says, if you are those that are the muslimin. Muslimin here meaning that you are the ones that have the baseline belief, but also you have that belief that is recommended and that is obligatory for you to reach this level to where if you see a tyrant in front of you and that he is threatening your life, you're trusting in the one and you're amongst the few. Some scholars say it was the youth that made this statement that Musa was speaking to and that accepted his statement. And they said that we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They trust in him. But the Islam here, looking at the meaning of Islam, as some scholars mentioned, istislam lillah bitawheed. It is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and surrender with unification in your belief. You believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that belief serves as the anchor and the motivation to trust in him in times of hardship, in times where things that are in front of you look impossible, where you look as the one that will be defeated. You trust in him as they trusted in Musa, as they trusted in him, trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and trusted in Moses that he was the one that carried the message, the risala. And as some mentioned, it was the elders that were trying to call the youth back, as they mentioned, because the elders live life. They live this lavish life, or they lived the life of Fir'aun, and they were in fear of their lives because they lived life, and some say they were trusted. They loved the dunya. They loved the situation that they were in. They didn't want to feel uncomfortable. And that's very important when we look at the lives of the prophets. They may call you to something. Something may come to you in your life, and you know it's the truth, but it's uncomfortable. And Moses, alayhi salam, was calling them to submit themselves to Allah, not to him, but to Allah by following him. When you see in front of you this tyrant that is calling people to that which is not beneficial for their akhirah. So in this beautiful verse, we see Musa, alayhi salam, a very important example of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when you trust in him, anything is possible, whether you know it, perceive it or not, because you trust in the one that created and put everything in front of you. And that is the ultimate form of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the mutawakkilin that trust in him in secret and in open. Barakallahu fi. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The ayah, the verse that I want to cover is ayah 38 of Surah At-Tawbah. It's one of the most powerful reminders in the Quran if you were to apply it to your context and your situatedness. Surah At-Tawbah, by the way, as you know, is a very heavy surah. It's the only surah that does not begin with a basmala. There are reasons for that. But if you think about this particular ayah and everything you've heard up to this point, ask yourself as you break it down, ask yourself how you can apply it in the moment that you're in right now. It begins with 89 references. It begins with, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. 89 times in the Quran. Oh, you who believe, there's a greater emphasis. Pay attention. Malakum, what is the matter with you? Think of this as Allah reprimanding. Reprimanding who? Reprimanding a group of people at a time in which the Prophet ﷺ gathered 30,000 plus believers to go out and for the expedition of Tabuk and to face what was considered one of the superpowers of the region, the Roman Byzantine Empire. When you think of the Roman Byzantine Empire and the location of Tabuk and the time that this took place in at the end of the Medina and Sirah, you have a lot of people amongst the 30,000. You have a lot of people who are on other parts of the spectrum of faith, and you have amongst the Muslims, hypocrites as well. So you heard up to this point, there are different groups of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reprimanding. Pay attention to the one who's receiving. مَا لَكُمْ إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ انْفِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثَاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. If it is said to you, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a command here, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you cling to the earth. I'll break down what this means in a moment, inshallah. أَرَضِيتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Are you satisfied with this life over the next? Are you choosing this life over the afterlife? فَمَا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. The life of this world compared to the next life, it's insignificant. It has no value whatsoever in terms of the raha, the comfort, and the materialism you can possibly pursue in this world. Let's go back to the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reprimanding those who came up with excuses. And this is the 38th ayah of the surah. After already laying out in the first part of the surah how evil these people are that are going to face you, you have to defend yourselves. There is no other alternative. There's no other option. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on his wisdom. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did his part. There are going to be sincere people who really want to go. And as you heard already, they can't go. They can't afford to go. And they are genuinely sad. They wish they could partake. They wish they could be amongst those who submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, some stayed back. Some came up with excuses. And of course, you had amongst the Muslims, you had the hypocrites. When it is said to you, do such and such, go out in the path of Allah, follow the command of Allah, you cling to the earth. And when you think of إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ, you might think of why would someone cling to something other than the command of Allah? And you can think of so many reasons. It's a long day in the summer, the heat of the sun, so people were afraid, and there's a real risk to their lives, of course. So your life, the very thing you hold to be precious, is at risk. It's also at the time that the dates were ready to be produced and to be consumed, and so there's an economic, financial reason. It's also very far compared to other expeditions that took place, and most importantly, it is the Roman Byzantine Empire. So some people are just thinking about the advancement of the military, the might. These are the Romans we're talking about. You want us to just go out and let go of our families and our wives and our children? And of course, there is an application. This is ayah. There's a context. We don't want to remove it from that context, but we want to take lifelong lessons, inshallah ta'ala. The concept of إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ, even linguistically, a very heavy word on the tongue, that you cling to something, it is a type of attachment. إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ, think of your desires. As many of the scholars, the tafsir say, إِلَى الْأَرْضِ can be your shahawat, your personal habits. إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ can refer to your hopes, your to-do list, your dreams, your goals, the things that you say, I want to do. But eventually the line of death will cut you off from what's ahead. It's inevitable. The question is, what are you doing until that line emerges? إِلَى الْأَرْضِ can also mean, as Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, to your actual physical home, your residence. Sometimes people look at their brothers and sisters under occupation, in different lands, in different places, concentration camps, in wars. And they say, you know what, they have it really bad. They're very likely to leave this world before me. And the reality is you could leave this world before them. The reality is anything can affect you where you are. You're not guaranteed safety in your health. You're not guaranteed safety politically. You're not guaranteed any of these things in this world. So to choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attach yourself to a dunya, إِثَّا قَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, your home, your country, your physical space, at the expense of the afterlife, you're choosing something that is essentially foolish. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, رَضِيْتُ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ, this life compared to the next is not a drop of water compared to an ocean of eternity. Choose your pleasures very cautiously, because some will backfire and be a source of pain, and some will end up being a source of eternal relief and eternal bliss. If I had to summarize it in two words or three words, I would say embrace positive discomfort. Embrace positive discomfort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't find regret with that. If you neglect it, you will find regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity and also embrace the positive discomfort that leads to that eternal reward. Allahumma ameen.
SubhanAllah, there's so much here about the connection between comfort and complacency. Comfort and complacency. And you've got to imagine that this is very appealing to everyone, right? Like when you get to a place where you feel stable, comfortable, anything that could disrupt that is, you know, usually not worth it. And unless I have to be forced out of that comfort, I'm not really willing to embrace that discomfort. And so there has to be sort of an incentive where you believe in something greater. But in the case of, I think what brings us all back together, وَظَنُّوا أَنْ لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ, right? So the people that were left behind, they came to realize that there was no refuge from Allah except back to Him, that the comfort is actually found in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the case of the hypocrites, they tried to appeal to that mindset. What did they say? لا تنفروا في الحرب. Like, it's hot outside. It's hot outside. It's going to be a really uncomfortable journey. You know, and the man who backbited Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu stood up to, right, in the journey when the Prophet was out with the companions. He said what? He said, you know, he got held back, Ka'b got held back because he was getting too comfortable. He must have been distracted by, mashallah, all these gardens he now has, and you know, he looked in the closet, he had a lot of nice clothes, he looked outside, he had a lot of nice gardens, and said, you know, it's probably not worth it. So there's an appeal that's being made, a direct appeal to comfort. And ثَاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, like you beautifully said, it has different connotations. In the case of Nuh alayhi salam with his son, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ, right? Let me stand on this mountain, يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ, it's going to protect me from the water. This is where I feel most comfortable, this is where I feel the most stability. And the stability was actually... the
cause of his drowning.
the cause of his drowning, subhanAllah. So in this situation, the comfort was actually the cause of their destruction. And for us, I think that it's really important, you know, that it comes back to incentive. The Prophet ﷺ, one of the most powerful things that you really learn from the seerah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away Khadija radiallahu anha, who would embrace him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was in discomfort. And Allah took away Abu Talib, who would protect him. But Allah replaced that with Qur'an and Qiyam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found a different embrace now. Right? If you think about it, you know, the embrace of Jibreel alayhi salam sent him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking the comfort of the embrace of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. But now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam misses Jibreel alayhi salam. Now the comfort's in the Qur'an, the comfort's in following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't really believe that initially, right? Like initially you're kind of like, of course in the case of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's different. I'm talking about us, right? Where it's like, man, like this looks like a tough journey. And I think, Shaykh, I'll bring it back to you. Converted to Islam, like hesitation, scared.
No, yeah,
this
yeah.
This is really, really uncomfortable.
But you know, it's funny. It reminds me of one of my friends, you know, he always says, man, I just want to go to heaven. Like that was very, he kept it very simple. And what you mentioned, what the Munafiqun said, but let them feel fil har. What does Allah say right after that? قُلْ النَّارُ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا.
Allahu Akbar.
Like you're thinking about this dunya, okay. What about the akhirah? And it's so beautiful, it's so eloquent. They're talking about heat. Which heat are you really afraid of? The heat of this dunya, the heat or the hellfire? So when it converting to Islam, when thinking about life, man, I have to pray 5 times a day. Like every day of my life, you have to be responsible. There has to be a time in your life you say, okay, what really matters? Do I want to go to heaven? Do I believe in heaven? Do I want to go there? What am I willing to do for it, right? So it's really that comfortability. And it's so beautifully thaqaltum fil ard, because heavy is thaqil in Arabic. Like what weighs you down really? What is your anchor that holds you down that you're willing to give everything for it, right? And that's what's so beautiful, that when you cling to the tangible things of this life and you forget the intangible, you forget the next life, you see throughout the sunnah of the Prophet, he's always reminding the companions about Allah, the next life, the reward in Jannah, the punishment, the targhib and tarheeb, reminding people, enticing people, and warning people at the same time. Bashiran wa nadhiran. He's congratulating people and he's warning people. And that's what is so important about the Muslim, because the purpose of life for the Muslim is transcendent. It is something that goes beyond this life. Rather, everything you do in this life is a form of gratitude for the one that created life. So the purpose of life is not only things in this life. That's why it's so beautiful in Surah At-Tawbah, because there's so many instances, even when we're talking about when they were, you know, giving sadaqah, you know, and Abu Bakr gave all of his wealth. You know, if, having the opportunity just to read that story and you see how the companions of Ridwanullah alayhim, at any given moment, they're remembering the akhirah. And the remembrance of the akhirah is what influenced them to give up anything in this dunya. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes to reach that level. SubhanAllah, Allah make us from them. Just beautiful, beautiful story.
Sheikh, you'd like this example. Years ago, I started going to the gym in undergrad.
MashaAllah.
Properly, yes. Alhamdulillah. We worked out for a good couple of months, and then we had a friend who said, I want to join you guys. Uh-huh. I said, all right, come with us. He's like, just tell me what to do. Literally, like we said, okay, the friend who was with me was more proficient. So he told me, these are your goals. These are the things you want to work towards. He talked to him for a while. And then he's like, all right, let's start with the bicep curls. Mm-hmm. So his goal, I think, was like, eventually he wanted to get like 50 pounds or something. Anyways, he started first set and he's like, guys, this hurts. Uh-huh. Like, what do you think we did over here? He's like, yeah, there has to be a better way. He sees himself as like very intelligent. He's like, there has to be a better way, yes. A shortcut. And my friend told him the mantra everyone knows, no pain, no gain. He's like, if you don't embrace that discomfort, you can't possibly get to the next level. Of course, that's why I said earlier, positive discomfort, because we're not justifying every kind of discomfort out there. Rather, some things, everyone strives, but some things have a return and they are worth it. And so people get up in the morning hours all the time. A lot of CEOs get up and they talk about how they make billions or manage companies getting up early, but it's completely cut off from the purpose of life. So if you're sacrificing, your sacrifice has to be worth it. If you're embracing discomfort, it has to be worth it. And know why it's worth it and keep reminding yourself. It's remarkable to think there are some aspects of Islam that are mentioned just once or twice in the entire Quran. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the afterlife and the motivation we are in need of psychologically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it hundreds of times mm-hmm. because we are in need of it. Mm-hmm. So if we cut ourselves off from the Quran and those daily reminders, we're essentially cutting ourselves off from the thing that will help us to detach, to stop being weighed back. Allahu a'lam.
There's something about the ayah, Shaykh, Raditum, you are pleased with the life of this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blaming the hypocrites of Medina, Raditum, you are pleased with the life of this world. And what did the Prophet ﷺ promise the sincere believers of Medina, the Ansar, when they came to Mecca? Look, we're going to embrace all this discomfort. All of our alliances are going to be broken. People are going to come for our necks. We're going to lose all of our money. We're losing everything from this dunya to take you in, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we get in return? Jannah. Prophet ﷺ did not give them any worldly promises, even though, if you think about the long run, the gain of Medina was huge. Even from a pure worldly perspective, it becomes a world-class city with the Prophet ﷺ, right? The Ansar go on to become legends, right? Of course, many of them were martyred and they suffered many difficulties, but those that lived, some of them really found comfort in the dunyawi sense, in the worldly sense, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. But the Prophet ﷺ wasn't giving them any of those promises. No, you get Jannah. And when they're coming back from Mecca, and they're worried because they see the spoils of war going to some of the recent converts in Mecca.
Right.
And the Prophet ﷺ mentions to them the very famous story that, you know, they go back with the animals and the spoils and you go back with the Prophet ﷺ as your share. They use the same word, رَضِينَا. We are pleased with the Prophet ﷺ as our share. We're pleased with the Jannah. We're pleased with paradise. We're pleased with the Prophet as our share, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it goes back to what really pleases you. What really pleases you. And there's a natural pleasure, but there's also that divine pleasure, you know, that you seek, which starts to become, I think it takes you from a place of seeking safety to seeking sakina, to truly seeking tranquility, sanctuary, like in the Quran, seeking sanctuary in the life of the Prophet and in what exists of a Jannah. And, you know, that promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jalla allow us to realize that promise. Allahumma.
Shaykh, you reminded me of, I think ayah 111 is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Such amazing words of transactions that people are used to in this world, because it's all material, financial, economic, back and forth. Allah has purchased from the believers their lives. Your whole life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your wealth in exchange for paradise. It's a very straightforward transaction, subhanAllah.
Allahu
Akbar. It's just so, the idea of you're dealing with Allah here, you're not dealing with human beings.
Allahu Akbar. So it's a surah, subhanAllah, of a lot of transaction, much about, you know, how we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to know what we're seeking in order to endure what we are enduring for His sake, bidhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Sulaiman. Mm-hmm. We talked about the gym. I think y'all need to have a match, like a jujitsu match. Yeah, he said, let's go. He said, let's go. He's going to grapple. All right, so Sheikh Sulaiman is going to take Sheikh Abdullah out back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless both of you. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you all tomorrow. Bidnillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.